For more audios, go to www.wordchurch.biz. That's B-I-Z.
Well, through these years, help work with Don to help the church, and I learned a lot of things from Don and from the church and from the people. And you know, the Bible said we are children of God and we are the salt and the light, which means where we go, people will see the difference. People will see the light, the goodness of God through us. And sometimes I pay attention where I go and pay attention to what I talk to people. The day before yesterday, we went to a restaurant and then we go to get some ice cream. The restaurant has a small cone and a guy in front of me, so I just stand behind him waiting for my turn to get ice cream. And he started talking to me. And he's make a fancy ice cream cone, has the chocolate and sprinkles, whatever, looks so pretty. So he said, yeah, you know, this ice cream is very good. I said, yeah. I said, you know, don't feel, I said, life is meant to be enjoyed. When I said that word, he looked at me. I can see he is kind of like shocked for somebody said, life's meant to be enjoyed, you know. And I was waiting on him to, he make like two, probably one for his wife, you know. And he's kind of like a little bit guilty of, has, you know, has all kind of sweet stuff on top of ice cream, you know. So when I said, yeah, I said, this ice cream is good. I said, life is meant to be enjoyed. And I can see it's like a heavy curtain off his shoulder, you know. Now these days we all know we need to eat healthy food, do exercises. I mean, everybody knows this, you know. But on the other hand, there's a lot of things you can enjoy. And in the New Testament, in the end, it said very clearly, you go to the end of the earth and you sit on the table, eat what they put on the table. And God used us to reach different people and let our life to be the example of our life is not to do the law. The Ten Commandments and the law in Old Testament show we cannot do it. We all short of glory before God. And it's the blood of Jesus washes us white as snow. And you know, we pray and say, Lord, take me as you find me, all my fears and fails as the song we sing. You know, and let God work us and change us inside out. And if we are truly the children of God, people will see through our lives our loving, tender, and patience, love, kindness, forgiveness toward each other, and you know, knowing. Doesn't matter how hard we try, we will make mistakes. It's the righteousness through faith. Let's read Romans chapter 3, verses 21. But now, apart from law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed, and is attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, for all who believe. That's for all, everyone who believes Jesus. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sin previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous, and that is, he has justified the one who has faith in Christ. You know, sometimes we are, if we not watch ourselves, we will concentrate one thing and forget the whole picture. And live, you know, to be holy is very important. To be holy before God is very important. But also to knowing, as we are human, we need to check ourselves about our heart. Do we truly love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, or which is a lip service? And if we truly love the Lord, you know, even though sometimes we're doing something we wish we don't do, but other people will see our sincere heart. The other day I talked to one lady, and you know, this lady knows something she does she shouldn't do, and she feel guilty of it. And also she told me a lot of people against the things she did. And I look at her, I said, you know what is right, what is wrong. And you know how much you love the Lord, how hard you're trying to do the right thing. But also, you know, you felt kind of like helpless, because it's like the things she does, she's like in bondage. And I said, you know, you are not in bondage. You can walk away the life you live now. You can walk away. Go to another direction, don't look back. But also know, God loves you. It's never too late in anybody who's seeking the Lord. It's never too late. It's never too big sin you committed. There's always hope in Jesus Christ. There is always God give you another chance if you truly seeking God. You know, we need to see how we present the Bible, how we show God. To me, it's so sad that sometimes I see some people, they love the Lord and they try their best, and but they are just to carry, you can see they carry heavy burden, heavy load. They walk like this, and you know, you want to tell them, you don't need to carry this burden, you don't need to carry this weight. But on the other hand, when you look at their eyes, you know it's not time for them to receive from you yet. Is that means you give up to help these people? No. Pray for them. Give it to the Lord. Because, you know, for instance, like my family, I'm the youngest, I'm the baby, okay? And my family, they also take care of me. And I know, you know, if I talk to them about Jesus Christ, that they won't, you know, I'm baby, you know, didn't matter how old I am, I'm the baby in their eyes. Yesterday I talked to Jess, I said, you know, Johanna will be 13 next month. She said, don't tell me that. In my eyes, she's always a baby. You know, in my family, I'm always a baby. And that means I don't care about my brothers? No, I care about them. I pray Lord will send somebody to reach them. The Lord will bring somebody to them. They will listen. It's not the whole world on our shoulder. Ephesians said, you know, some are prophets, some are apostles, some are teachers, some are pastors, you know. So God wants us to use our gift, but also knowing we need to work together. It's in the unity. It's the power of God change people inside out. Not that we said, you should do this, you should do that. But it, pray for people to have encounter with God. Because if you have encounter with God, then nobody can talk you out of it. And sometimes we need to understand, as we more willing to listen to the Lord, our maturity will grow faster than we don't want to hear from the Lord. And, you know, look back, I see so many foolish things I did. And I remember during the Whitland, we had a revival, and I was so excited to see signs, wonders, miracles, so excited, and I pray. And middle night, I will wake up and I will pray, and sometimes I know what I'm praying for. And so I'm just excited. Oh, last night the Lord told me, you know, pray for blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And for several times, I realized, now I wake up at 2, 3 o'clock. I know I am praying, but it's a praying in turn. I know I'm interceding for somebody, but I don't know for what and for who. So I asked the Lord, why is this? And the Holy Spirit kind of showed me something the Lord wanted me to pray. It's between me and God for standing the bridge, pray for somebody. It's not for me to blab, blab, blab. Oh, I can hear from God, you know. And my pride set in, you know. So in a period of time, I woke up in the middle of the night. I pray in tongue. And now, sometimes I woke up, I know what I'm praying for. Because if you're willing to learn, if you say, sorry, Lord, you know, my childish and my pride getting, and I, please forgive me, you know. And the Lord will show me the things again in the language I can understand, you know. I want to share this to encourage you guys. You know, maybe sometimes you feel guilty, the things you said, the things you did, make you feel ashamed or make you feel, why I do that? It's so childish, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, stop. Step on yourself. Stop blame you the mistake you make. You know, when you repent, the blood of Jesus washes away. God remember no more your mistakes. And I want to encourage you guys. God loves us. God wants all his children come to him. And as Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I like a hen gather the chicks you don't want. And God wants all to receive Jesus Christ, to be his children. And let us to encourage each other. Let us to say, we can, through Jesus Christ. And let us to be willing to walk on the water, knowing maybe when the storm come, maybe when the rain, snow, or big wind, our faith start weak, but knowing Jesus will reach out. Be encouraged, have faith in God, and knowing we are human even though we said have faith in God, maybe after 10 minutes we started to doubting again, but to pray for one another, help each other to walk closer to the Lord. By this world, especially non-Christian, they will see the fruit of your life. Scott?
We sang tonight about God's redemption and how Jesus saves us by his blood. So I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 9. And we're going to see the covenant that God established through his Son was so much more perfect for those who believe than what they had before. One was from the earth, earthly. The other came from heaven. Jesus came from heaven, and the Word, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So we know that Jesus came and was sent by the Father to complete the work of God and to complete himself as a sacrifice for our sin and to satisfy all judgment and take the judgment on himself. But let's look at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13, the last verse of chapter 8. In that he says, a new covenant he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Verse 9, or chapter 9, verse 1. Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all. So you understand that this tabernacle was built according to God's blueprints and according to his plan. Moses helped put it together. He was the one who listened to what God said. And is all set up. And when Israel would move about in the wilderness, they had to pack it up and carry it to another place, set it up wherever they went. It was a place where God's presence would be dwelling. But there's this place on the inner part of the sanctuary, which is called the Holy of Holies, or the holiest of all. The holiest. And this, no one could go in except one person a year. That was a priest. And the high priest would go in, but he would not go in without blood. Let's read on here, verse 4, which had the golden censer, the ark of the covenant, overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Now here we get into what they used, that how they used it in performing religious ceremony. Verse 6. Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services, but into the second part the high priest went alone, once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. Mm-hmm. So he goes in once a year to offer a sacrifice of blood for his sins and the people's sins. And he had to do it every year because it was a yearly thing. They always had remembrance of their sin. So God, in his wisdom, did something much greater in Jesus Christ when he sent his Son to be that full sacrifice to establish the new covenant. Verse 8, and the Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. In other words, there was a barrier for a human being to be able to approach the presence of God, and for God's presence to approach the human being. There is this wall, this barrier, and it had to do with sin. It had to do with falling from grace or falling from the glory of God. As Julie read, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So everyone had fallen short. I think it's Isaiah that says he looked for a man to intercede, but he found none. Because he knew there had to be someone on earth who would intercede on behalf of all the people on the earth, to be a mediator, to mediate between God and man. And we know later that Jesus Christ fulfilled that position. The Holy Spirit indicating, verse 8, this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. So we're talking about not only outward sin, we're talking about a conscience in man that always showed him or taught him that he was not holy or not righteous. He still had this desire to approach God in some way, to be set free from the bondage of sin. He's always a slave. And the slave was always in a position of wanting to be free. So human beings really want to be free, but some of them don't understand that. Now here we see that there was an earthly sanctuary set up. Verse 10. Well, let's verse 9. Read that again. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect. So there had to be some gifts and sacrifices for sin under the old covenant and the law. And it says in verse 10, concerned only with foods, drinks, various washings, and fleshly ordinances imposed upon the time of, until the time of Reformation. Reformation means the time of change. God's change was going to come about. Because the way that he set up was allowed man to approach God, but it wasn't in a perfect way. It was still had that barrier of sin every year. They kept having consciousness of the sin. You know, when God called Abraham, he called him to go to a place that God would show him. And he took it by faith. He accepted the promise of God, and he moved out and didn't consider even his own body, which was old and could not have a son. But he went, obeying the Father, obeying God. And we see here that there was a time of reformation, a time of change coming about, because God was going to establish a new covenant. And Abraham understood that. He was not bound by an old covenant of sin. It says it was accounted to him as righteousness. Was he righteous? Yes, he was. He was just as good as if God made him holy and righteous, even though he made mistakes along the way. But he was righteous because of his faith. not because of what he did, because he believed God. So it's important that we believe God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Okay, verse 11 then, the time of change is coming. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. So here we see Jesus entering the most holy place. Where is it? It's in heaven. The Bible says that he presented his blood to the Father in the heavenly sanctuary. Because we're shown here in Hebrews 8 and 9 and even 10 that there was an earthly sanctuary and there was a heavenly. And the earthly was an example of the heavenly. But the heavenly was more perfect. It's pure. It's holy. It's completely without sin, without darkness. It is freedom. Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come. What are the good things to come? The good things to come is to be free, to walk in freedom and liberty, to be his children, and to do the works of God. To walk as children, to live by faith, and knowing who our Father is. But it was not with the blood of goats, it was the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the Son. It says, the Son of God offered his blood. He entered, with his own blood, he entered the most holy place, verse 12, once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. That means he bought us back. Redeeming means to buy or to purchase. And through the blood, there was enough power in the blood to purchase us because God counted it as righteousness. He counted it as being holy, and he was holy. Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? This is God's purpose. He allowed us through Jesus to become completely free from sin. Jesus died, and it says he became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Instead of being sin conscious now, we should be righteousness conscious. In other words, our conscience should be thinking on God's way of thinking and not upon human standards or human ways of thinking, because they will not produce holiness in you. They will not produce God's life in you. Only Jesus will produce his life in you. It does not come from the source of man. It does not come from the earth. But it comes from heaven, where Jesus came down and he offered himself without spot to God, cleansing your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant. There it is. He's the mediator with someone in the middle between God and us, between God and you. For this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Abraham understood that there was an eternal inheritance. It says that he was not seeking a city made with hands. He was not seeking a sanctuary made with hands, like the tabernacle was good while he was here. But now there's something better. Jesus came to fulfill the law and then also establish a new order. Called it the Reformation, changing the way that we can be saved under the old covenant, under the new covenant. actually, the process is the same, but the effect is more powerful in the New Covenant than it was in the Old Testament.
Yes.
Abraham walked by faith, he believed by faith, and he was accepted by faith, just like you and I are today. There's no difference in that, but there is a difference in the contract that we have with God. Jesus gave us his blood. He spilled it on Calvary, on the cross, and then and the Bible says that he presented it. He presented it to the Father. Let's see if I can find it here. Okay, verse 24. Look at verse 24. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. So we see here that Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, has not entered the holy place on earth, but in heaven. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices, verse 23, but Christ has entered the holy place made with hands. Entered not the holy place made with hands, but which is a copy of the true sanctuary in heaven, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Jesus is our representative. He's our mediator. He's there to appear for us, for you and I, that we are inheritors of his inheritance. What God had promised Abraham, he promised David, he promised Jesus Christ, and he promises us that we will have our sins completely washed, completely gone. This is the process that God wants to do. If you look at Colossians chapter 1, Paul refers to a mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. And that mystery is found in verse 27. Chapter 1 of Colossians, which says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of being glorious, the hope of being holy, the hope of being completely righteous has to do with Jesus living inside and through you. Things haven't changed as far as our ability. All we have to do is surrender and live for him. And he lives for us. He lives through us. So the holiness that God produces in himself can be manifested through us. Each one of you can live the holy life, the righteous life, and live according to God's purpose and plan. Because you know the mystery. The mystery is not by might or by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's not by your strength, but it's through Jesus who lives in you. Yes. Hold your place there in Colossians. Look back at Galatians 2. Verse 20. Let's start with verse 19. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What does that say? I am crucified with him. I have died with him. But nevertheless, I'm still alive. How am I alive? His resurrected power, his life is being lived through me. All I do is live by faith in him, in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Colossians tells us that we are complete in Christ. That's found in chapter 2, verse 10. You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Chapter 2, verse 10. And it says in verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The treasures of wisdom and knowledge come from Jesus and knowing him. He'll give us the wisdom. What did James say? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. But let him ask in faith. So you are complete. 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 There's nothing lacking in you. If Jesus lives in you, and you're in him, you are made complete. God accepts you. God receives you. God takes you as his child. God forgives you. And God heals you and makes things right. It's not based on your goodness or your ability to work or to do good works or to do anything. Yes, we will do good works because God ordained for us to do. But we don't do them in order to be accepted. We are accepted by faith into the family of God because Jesus Christ invites us to come and to be a part. And he makes us righteous. And he makes us holy. And he makes us complete. Nothing lacking. The psalmist, David, the psalmist, said in chapter 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why is it that you don't want? Because you have him. You have everything you need. You have Jesus, you are complete. So let's look at Colossians 3, and then I'm going to close and we'll pray. Colossians 3, verse 1, tells us how we're supposed to live. Should we focus on the earthly thing, or should we focus on the heavenly thing? You see, Jesus established in the heavens that he became our high priest, and he was risen to the highest place, given a name above all names. At the name of Jesus, every knee would bow, every tongue would confess that he is Lord. He sat down at the right hand of God as our mediator, our intercessor, the one who prays on our behalf. He's interceding and praying. But look what Paul says here in Colossians 3 and verse 1. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. That doesn't mean we can't do things on the earth. It just means don't set your mind or your thoughts only on that. But let them be focused on Christ, where he is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And then he tells, put to death those evil things of our past life. Put them out of the misery. Put them on the cross, because Jesus carried them. You were, used to be this person, but now you're a new creature, a new creation. God makes you brand new. This is the good things that God promised. And through Abraham, we saw a glimpse of it. That the Bible says, God counted it as righteous because he believed God. Counted it as righteous. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. The blood of the Lamb. Pure, holy, righteous. No sin in it. No fault. No darkness, but just light. We thank you that through Jesus Christ, we have been made in the same way, in the same image, a new creation, a new creature. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the new covenant, the agreement, Lord, through your Son, that Jesus Christ was able to go into the Holy of Holies and appear there on our behalf. Thank you, Lord, that we now reside also in you at the right hand of God the Father. We're seated together in heavenly places, and we can focus upon that because we're made complete not in our own works, but in Jesus and his works through us. I pray, Father, that your works will come and manifest. Your Holy Spirit will do great and mighty good things through us. Help us, Lord, to be on the road, the plan of God, the plan you have for each one of our lives. Lord, sometimes we need to go on a different path. We need to follow you if you change course. We pray, Lord, that you just lead us and guide us. Lead everyone here and those who are listening on the internet. Father, that they too will have guidance and direction come to them by God's power and by God's Spirit. Lord, we thank you that we are complete in Jesus. Lord, the thing that you've done on earth for us, coming in the flesh, taking upon yourself the sins of the whole world, and now yet you have been raised from death to live forever so we can live forever. Oh God, we thank you that all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I pray for those listening tonight. If you just want to know this Jesus in a better and deeper way, I ask you to call upon his name. He said, call upon me, you'll not be disappointed.
Yes.
So Lord, we call upon you and we say, Lord, we commit our hearts and lives to the to the high priest of our life, of our confession, that we follow Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that we're crucified with him. But yet we're still alive because Christ is living in us. I pray, Lord, that you would bless everyone who hears this word and let us not be focused just on things on the earth, but on the things that you have set in the heavens forever. The reformation, the change of the way you forgive sin and the way you did away with sin completely through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the blood. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Huh?
I have something to share.
I want to share just a little bit. All of us feel really blessed when somebody says, I like you. I want you in my presence. I want you to be with me. Come over to my house. Come be with me. I choose you to be my friend. I choose you to be on my team. What a blessing. We are chosen. We have favor with that person. And it always makes our hearts feel good. But when the Almighty God comes in and says, I choose you. I want you to be on my team. I want you to be my friend. The Almighty God wants to be your friend. And he has chosen you. He has poured out his grace upon you. Now, grace isn't a word that was invented just 2,000 years ago. That's grace and what it means, that unmerited favor, that favor of God. It's been around all along. But after Jesus came, that's when it started being used and multiplied, and the grace of God be poured out, not just sprinkled, but poured out upon human beings that came with the arrival and the sacrifice and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So because we have been chosen, then I want to read you a couple of scriptures just to remind you of where you are and who you are in Christ Jesus. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But you are a chosen people." God chose you. You're on God's team. Jesus paid the price. You have been chosen. So you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. So here we were walking along in the darkness that is away from God, and He called our name. He called out, "Scott, come to me. I choose you. Jim, come to me. I call you because I choose you. My love is poured out upon you. Come into my light." Out of that dark place and into the light place, into the wonderful, eternal, everlasting light of God. Come out of the darkness and come into my light. Once you were not a people of God, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Mercy and grace and peace and joy be unto you. Mm-hmm. Now, Colossians. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. That means you put it on. You take from God and you put it on like a sweater or a shirt. You put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You've been chosen. God's called you. You're on His team. Put on the uniform. The uniform which identifies you as part of His team includes compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. God called you out of the darkness. He put you in the light. He chose you to be on His team. He gave you a uniform to wear. He wants you to be identified with Him. And that makes you a member of His body. And you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another together with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to our God, to God the Father, through Him. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all to the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.